So I thought I'd actually share a little bit with you about my theories about haunting and a little bit about what this book is about, which is very good, in my humble opinion, because I only wrote it. In any case, and I am live, right? Let me just say. Yeah, there we are. It is indeed counting down, and hopefully you can see the book. You're not seeing me because I was raised on radio, and radio is theater of the mind. So I'd like to just show you my book and not show you my face, because I think that's probably the best of both worlds. Anyway, folks, welcome once again to Random Walk, the show that hopefully gets you out and into your community and enjoying the many wonderful things that Hunterdon County has to offer, because we are truly a beautiful place, and autumn is a wonderful time here in Hunterdon County. There's plenty of pumpkin picking and apple picking and strolling or even hiking through beautiful crunchy leaves on trails full of trees that have changed, their leaves have changed color. So it really is, and visits to farmers markets and all the wonderful things, visits to wineries, which usually have, the leaves are starting to turn on the vines, so they look even more picturesque and gorgeous. Any case, folks. But, of course, one of my favorite things about this time of year is, of course, Halloween. Halloween is a wonderful occurrence that happens at the end of October of most years. Why do I say most years? Well, we've had a few bad years here and there where some unfortunate weather came and kind of swept our Halloween tidings away from us. And I would probably say that as a safety message, if severe weather is predicted for the area or wherever you may be, your area, you may want to actually take down your Halloween decorations or put them someplace safe, not only for the sake of your Halloween decorations, but for your home and your neighbors' homes and your neighbors and people just passing by. Keep them kind of in a safe place. I'm going to just turn this music all the way down now. There we go. Let me hit the pause there. All right. That was some autumn jazz. It was fall jazz music. Relax, autumn, smooth jazz piano, instrumental piano. Just because I didn't bring a Spyro Gyro CD today, that's okay. Because it's good to be smooth. It's fall. Should be in a relaxing mood. And I think we're going to just roll right into this first segment. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my book, and then maybe we'll do a little update on space and our space case, or we'll space out, something like that, and we'll do a little update on Jeopardy, just a quick one, because I think if you care, you already probably know the very sad truth of last night. Any case, why don't we just, you know what, after all, I think I am going to take a quick break, so hang right in there.
What do you want to do when... This is Tony...
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
All right, I'm back. I'm here. Even though you can't see me, you can hear me. I'm Victoria Ann Davis. This is Random Walk, a podcast for Hunterdon County. Here on Hunterdon County Chamber Radio, the voice of business. Well, I'd like to, we're going to be talking a little bit about my book, 10 Cheap Tricks to Haunt Your Halloween. This is actually really kind of a fun little genesis. I've actually did a lot of haunted houses. I started out as an adolescent, putting together haunted houses for at-risk youth at my high school. And it was fun. We did first year. It was like I bought a box of plastic bags, white plastic bags, garbage bags, and stuffed them with newspaper, used a little masking tape to tie off the base of that ball of newspaper, and maybe colored in some eyes on them, and we had ghosts, and we hung them up. And then I had some my fellow teenagers run around scaring the kids that we were there to entertain. So that was fun. So I think my technique has improved quite a bit since those days. It's been a long time. After that, I progressed into doing some other charitable haunts and working with some other people, and then I eventually just progressed into yard haunting, which you see an awful lot of that. And in Hunterdon County, we really, you know, we don't do anything half-baked. We like to go whole in. We like to be all in, and, you know, it might be as simple as somebody putting a few ghosts up around their yard to something as beautiful and ornate as the things that you see down in Lambertville, which, by the way, Lambertville, even though they've suffered a tremendous amount of damage or suffered tremendously from the remnants of Hurricane Ida, they are back open for business, and they are decorating for Halloween out there. And yes, North Union Street is once again aglow with an eerie light, and I do recommend dropping down there and seeing the sights, but also, you know, dropping into some of your favorite businesses giving them your patronage, and then also while you're there, also consider making a donation to some of the relief efforts. Which, speaking of, tonight, I want to let people know that I'm doing a special promotion for this particular Halloween. Those who purchase 10 cheap tricks for every book I sell this Halloween only, so this doesn't have to be on Halloween night, this October. I am going to donate $1 to Fisherman's Mark, one of the many charities in Lambertville. Not to say that Lambertville is the only area impacted in Hunterdon County or throughout the Northeast by Hurricane Ida, but Fisherman's Mark holds a special place in my heart. So I'll definitely be chipping $1 for each book I sell this October to help Fisherman's Mark, which it's a lot of things, but it's largely a homeless outreach center, and it is also a food pantry. I think they had a thrift store in there as well. So they've had to relocate because they took on some damage and lost some merchandise. But we're very grateful that they are continuing, like so many businesses and so many nonprofits in the area. And so I am very grateful to help them out. They are actually a part of the reason, they're part of the help that helped me graduate high school, in that I did part of my senior project with them. So I was very glad to have had that experience with them, and I volunteered with them in high school as well. So getting back to Halloween, I think the most useful thing I could do is kind of give you my idea on the various, on how I think, help you understand how I view haunting. Because, yeah, it's great if you buy this book and you make all 10 projects in it. And I'll get into how I came up with these 10 projects, but, a little bit. But, or you might want to just go out to your local store. There's a Spirit Halloween here in Flemington, and there's probably a number of toy stores and different places around the area that you might want to visit and pick up something nice and bring it home and display it. I was in Costco the other night, Chamber Member Costco, and they actually had they were called the Newly Deads, and it is a skeleton couple, an automated skeleton, animatronic skeleton couple, where the bride is carrying the groom, and they have quite the comedy routine that goes on and on and on, and they even sing "I Got You, Babe." So if you want to pick up something like that or something maybe not quite so ambitious and utilize it, certainly there's nothing wrong with that. That's not a bad choice whatsoever. But I can help you make that better. It's cute to just stick it on your front porch, but if you know a little bit about lighting, about sound design, and how to evoke emotion in your audience, then you can certainly, you'll certainly enjoy this. This book will help you get there, because I talk about in the first chapter the elements of haunting, in the final two chapters, because there is 13 spooky chapters in there. The 11th chapter, or the 12th chapter, is actually designing your haunt, and the 13th is about lighting, so lucky number 13. So right now I'm going to, this is also available if you go on Amazon and you want to do a book preview. I believe the digital version actually allows you to read this particular chapter of the book. So I'm going to read to you from it right now. So hopefully, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. You might want to just pause and think a little bit about this while you drive carefully. If you're not driving, you might want to chill, maybe close your eyes, or just kind of, you know, soften your focus and think about this scene as you visualize it. Early one evening, I found myself home alone. I was reading a magazine when I realized it had grown dark outside. A storm was blowing in. I reached for the switch of a nearby lamp, and while thunder rolled outside, but I miscalculated and knocked it to the floor where it shattered. I rose to get a broom and dustpan from the basement. As I opened the door of the basement, a dark, musty smell rose and hit my nose. I reached into the dank darkness for the frayed string and the sole light bulb hanging from the ceiling illuminated the stairs with a yellow light. As I made my descent, the worn wooden stairs bowed slightly and creaked with each footfall. The storm was nearly overhead now, and thunder pealed more loudly, so it could be heard clearly even as I reached the cold, damp concrete at the bottom of the steps. In an instant, a brilliant flash accompanied by a thunderous roar illuminated and disappeared, leaving me in a full darkness, as the surge it produced had burnt out the lone bulb of the stairway. I cursed my misfortune as I stumbled clumsily into the darkness. There was a flashlight somewhere, but how could I see it without light? I felt blindly along the wall, where I succeeded in knocking over the very broom I had originally sought. It clattered against the floor. That's when I felt something brush my leg. Its warmth was uncharacteristic with the clammy room, and I staggered backward, nearly losing my balance. Where was the staircase again? Uncertain, I groped in all directions. Then I felt another rub from the same object, approaching me from behind this time, while a low rumbling noise rose to my ears. I thrust myself forward to find the wall again. I felt my way along its rough surface, desperately bumping against boxes and tipping over buckets, rakes, and shovels all the way. At last, I made it to the workbench in the far corner where the rechargeables were kept, and not a moment too soon, as I could hear the rumbling noise following me. I grabbed my rechargeable flashlight, brandished it like a sword in the direction of the noise, and triumphantly pressed the switch. However, instead of light, it only produced the loud whine of a handheld vacuum. I tossed the vac to the side as the rumbling and rustling movement was almost upon me. Urgently, I reached behind me to the workbench and hoped that my neighbors not find my disemboweled corpse still clutching a power screwdriver. I pointed it again, pressed the switch, and illumination was achieved, just in time for me to see fangs! That silly cat had managed to get herself locked in the basement again. I picked up Fangs with my free hand and carried him up the steps. Cleaning up the lamp would have to wait. It was his dinner time. So yes, cheesy little story, no doubt about it. But it was actually kind of based on another story that someone had told me, that where they actually did have to go out to their garage to get a rechargeable flashlight, and they thought somebody was coming after them in the dark, and they went and pressed the button. Went and pressed the button, and All right. If you'll excuse me.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Alas, you know, I've spent, it probably doesn't show, but I've spent over 30 years in broadcasting, and I gotta admit, I was always the one who's so good, like, made sure the phone was turned off and all that, but somebody very urgently needed to reach me. We took care of it. We're all good. You got me back. Anyway, so yes, there was an actual story where somebody aimed a dustbuster at an alleged burglar. It turned out it was not a burglar, and it was not a flashlight that they thought it was. So that kind of worked out in that there wasn't an actual burglar involved. In any case, most of us now have phones that shine lights, so I guess that's a little out of date. But in any case, so there's a couple of different things that I put. Why did I start my book with a scary story or a silly scary story? Because I like silly, obviously. It's meant to illustrate the elements that make a haunt fun and memorable. It could be as successful. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have a haunt. Doesn't have to be. It could be as cheesy as that story. It could be a lot of different things. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be a lot of things, and it does, but it does have to do a couple of different things that will make it fun and memorable. So even if you are using, you know, trash bag ghosts, which you're going to then recycle into using as actual trash bags or storage containers, or you might have, you know, the pick of was it the Dapper Cadaver's website to help you decorate your home or your business or your personal space or your yard at this time of year. But what makes a haunt special and memorable is a couple of different things. One of them is the difference of emotions. It's not just all about being scared or being gory. I mean, I think most of us, if we've been in a haunted house, we have that moment of anticipation. You're first like, oh, it's going to be silly, cheesy. There's going to be, you know, it's just everybody just dressed up is just going to be an actor. It's no big deal. It's, all the blood's going to be fake, you know. You could, yeah, you're doing that, and you're like, you know, you're all tough. But it's like, well, maybe I'm going to be a little apprehensive here. I'm a little scared. And you got that anticipation, and then you go in. And then what happens from there, you take it from there. So we kind of start out with a little bit of an emotional roller coaster. Well, in a good haunt, normally in life we want to keep that roller coaster, maybe get that roller coaster to just level out and just coast along and not have so many ups and downs. But in this case, you want a lot of ups and downs. You want to put as many in there as possible. You notice how I mention, we start out with I'm just kind of chillaxing, reading a magazine. By the way, I don't own a cat. I do have a dog, though, although no one owns cats, technically, in any case, or dogs. In that particular case, I'm just chilling. I'm just reading a magazine, and suddenly it's darkening. I'm like, okay. Now I'm frustrated because I've knocked the lamp over, right? The next thing is, well, got to go clean that up. And now I have a little trepidation. I'm going down into the basement. It's kind of eerie. Kind of smells bad, right? I talk about the different senses. I describe the different types of light that are going on. But we'll talk about, let's keep on the emotion, is that we're now I'm getting, you know, getting down to the basement. It's kind of cold and damp. Now I'm getting frustrated because now the light goes out. So now I'm getting frustrated. I need to, I'm looking for the, you know, the broom and the dustpan, but Now I need some light to do that, and I can't do I need light to find the light, so that's kind of annoying. And next thing you know, now I'm being approached by something that is unknown, and that's definitely one of the things that still scares us the most. It goes throughout our lives, is the unknown. We are terrified of the unknown. And so here's this unknown object. It turns out to be very benign in the end, but it's something that we don't know. And it seems kind of warm and comforting, but it's kind of eerie. And when we don't know, we simply don't know. In any case. So the next thing you know, we're having the frustration of trying to resolve our situation and guessing wrong. We've got the fear of anticipation of something harming me. And then we have the light. We see that we're the only thing the thing that's scaring us most is ourselves. And it's really just a cat in the end. And so we have that emotion of just laughing at ourselves for being so caught up in the moment, so goofed on by our own emotions, our own creative thinking. So that's kind of what I like about haunting, is you want to kind of create that roller coaster. We have different moods. So it's not just, a guy with a chainsaw chasing you around, although that's a valid technique, and that a lot of people enjoy that, and it's been used in a great many haunts. And I would suggest it's not a terrible thing, but you can use that. But it's not just somebody chasing you around with a chainsaw, for 20 minutes. It's you want to be going through different emotions, and maybe there's some good commercials that come out around this time of year. There's the insurance commercial where I think they're saying it's really supposed to be a teen haunted, horror movie, and, they're saying, the one girl says, let's just get in the running car, and everybody's going, no, that's crazy, let's, run upstairs, or let's hide behind the chainsaws. That's a great idea. And it turns out that it doesn't go so well, obviously, and where the chainsaw murderer is just, shaking his head going, that's silly, and so you have that mixture of funny and scary and gory all at the same time. And that makes it a lot more, makes that horror factor a lot more impactful. Again, another great example, and I actually like this Saturday Night Live skit so much that I've actually blogged about it, because I think it illustrates a lot of great haunt technique. And being a really lame haunted attraction, I think the official name is The Elevator. Most people know it as David S. Pumpkins. But David S. Pumpkins is a really cool skit that they did with Tom Hanks a number of years ago. He actually became a cult figure, and they actually had to produce a separate cartoon, half-hour cartoon, to make that work. Any case, because he was so popular. But why was he popular? It's a lame skit, the second half of Saturday Night Live, and is it's about a lame haunted attraction. You've got Keenan Thompson, I think, is an elevator operator. It's called 100 Floors of Frights. He's an elevator operator. He's got all these lame puns. There's no limit, but he delivers them so well. And, they start out like, that's really scary. The elevator door opens. That's really scary. And then, they come up the next floor. A couple floors later, you meet David S. Pumpkins. And it's like, he's saying how he's going to scare them. And then he's got some, skeletons. And they start dancing. And they do the spastic dance. They're not very good dancers. And they're like, okay, so what's so scary about that, the couple in the elevator? And then, that goes on from there. And they do a few more stories. You have, I think it was Tracy Jones. There's another cast member comes, the door opens, and she's got the chainsaw, and it looks like she's like a serial killer or something. And then she goes, I'm crazy for David S. Pumpkins! And then they come in, and they start dancing some more. And people are just thinking, well, this is just the lamest thing. And at the end, they just have the skeletons wishing them a happy Halloween. And the next thing you know, Davis Punks is behind them, and they're terrified. This is horrible, because they're thinking this is so lame. And before you know it, there's this unexpected element of Davis Punkins behind you going, "Any questions?" So, again, I thought it was a very... It actually showed us some very effective haunt technique in that silly little skit, as cheesy as my story is. So that's one of the things that I want people to bring to. Another thing is I mentioned a little bit about the sensory. You tell from that story, I mentioned the different forms of lighting. And very often, certainly very early on, my haunting experience, I actually was very into darkening things and making things just totally dark. Let's just turn off all the lights. Maybe we have a candle, because back in the day they didn't have battery operated candles, or they weren't very good if you could find them. So you had live candles, which is super dangerous. Don't use those in your haunt. It's good safety. Battery operated, obviously, you know, make sure that they're child friendly, where they have the screw in the bottom so kids can't get them open and eat the coin batteries that are in them. But yeah, utilizing that. But now today you can have that flickering candlelight because it's safe, but you can also have different types of lighting. You can even have bright light. If you spent, you know, hours making one of the props that are in this book, or you bought something very pricey, maybe you took your life savings and dropped it at the Dapper Cadaver website to get, you know, a posable mummy, or you could just make the low-rent version that's on the cover of my book. But you could do that. You want people to see that really, really well. And if it looks really nice and it doesn't look cheesy, you might want to actually have some nice bright light on it. Or if there's a plot twist, a lot of people in their haunts have a theme. I think having a theme is a great way to go. It's considered kind of important to the modern-day haunted house or the modern-day dark ride. A great example of this, if you've ever been to, I believe, is it Universal Studios? No, it's actually, I think it's Disney World. They have the Raiders of the Lost Ark ride. And on that, that is a dark ride, but it's all themed based on Raiders of the Lost Ark. Of course, they have a very large budget to do that, and it looks really good. But it's also very cool because you have a theme there. So it's still a dark ride, it's still a haunted house of a type, but it is all in one theme. So if you have that, you have those narrative elements, even if it's just, you know, your front porch with some garbage bag ghosts on it, if you have that narrative element, you're going to be making it a lot more memorable and something people can think about a little bit more. So you also, again, with the lighting, you can have some bright light, you can have some dim light. The modern world, something I didn't have access to, you know, back in the 1990s when I started doing this, actually I think it was 1989 when I started doing this, is UV lamps. You don't have the fluorescent, but they are adjusted, so basically all you're getting is UV light. Which, again, you wouldn't want to have all of that in your haunt, although there are some exceptions. There's a beautiful black light display in Lambertville that is very famous, and you can actually see, I think people have made short films about it because it's that good. But for the most part, you want to rotate your lighting, use different lighting, have different moods. You want people to experience different moods. So maybe you've got, a birthday party. Maybe you're seen as a birthday party gone awry because you're terrified of clowns. So you've got, you know, the scary clown that jumps out at you. But you might want to have, like, the happy, serene look of, you know, the light shining on there, like a beautiful, you know, a nice happy orangey lamp shining on a birthday cake. And when you get closer to that birthday cake, you notice there's a hand sticking out of it, you know, and then there's a clown jumping out of you, out of the shadows and scaring you. And that kind of takes you by surprise. So again, it gives you different emotions. It gives you different lighting options. It gives you different things to think about. It gives you a theme that, again, makes that a more memorable experience. I also talk a little bit about the olfactory in here, and this is often overlooked by haunts, and you might want to be careful how you employ that. If you're having a party at your house, if you're having a party at your house, you might know that people are coming. If you're just having a yard haunt, if you're just having a yard haunt, you might want to be a little bit more cautious because you don't know who's coming and who might have allergies. I talk a little bit about in the book as we go on in the first chapter. We talk a little bit about the different things that you might be able to stimulate the olfactory nerves. You might want to use some essential oils, maybe a little bit on a lamp or on a light bulb on a lamp, carefully, of course, or through one of those atomizers, an appropriate atomizing device. Or you could also just using a couple of different things. I think I describe in here. Is it true? I believe. Do I know my book that well? For example, if we were creating a mummy's tomb, we would start with a figure of a mummy, which you can see on Chapter 8. Or perhaps a sarcophagus with a mummy's hand peeking out. The lighting should accentuate the central figure, easily pointing it out. In this case, perhaps real lamps, real work lamps, on a tripod left by an archaeologist, or a line of flameless candles left by priests. Rather than a generic scary sound soundtrack, there could be the sound of a shovel digging, or some random banging of a doomed archaeologist, or there might be some exotic chanting from a newly entombed king. A concealed bucket of potting soil with some warm water poured over it can give you off the smell of fresh excavation, whereas a mysterious scent like patchouli would suggest fresh embalming. These additive elements bring the viewer into the moment and allow them to suspend their disbelief and experience a mummy's tomb rather than some stuff purchased at a home center and assembled the previous weekend. So again, I talked a lot about that. So again, you could have something like patchouli, something that's going to intrigue the senses. If you're, again, we're talking about maybe a birthday party scene, maybe you want something that smells like a fresh baked cake. So maybe you bake a cake right before your haunt and you stick the warm cake under the table so people can smell that birthday cake smell.
We could have... Again, I like the idea of having some potting soil in a bucket and pouring some warm water over it. Pouring warm water over anything will usually atomize its scent. So that's another way you could probably steam something. So think of things that would smell good, bad, somehow consistent with your experience. Again, I mentioned some lighting in there, some practical lighting, which is lighting that you'll find in the scene. It's also a filmmaker term. But also some just overhead lighting that you might not, be involved with. I also mentioned some sounds and noises in there, and you can go into a lot of detail with that. There's a lot of choices. Obviously, being in broadcasting, I started the show with some jazzy music. Here, can I get the jazzy music back up? Maybe. Who knows? Apparently, my tablet doesn't like me anymore. That's okay. Here we go. Let's get some jazzy music in here. All right, a little jazzy music. All right, enough of the jazzy music. But notice how that changes the mood. It even changes me. I tend to relax, and now I'm speaking in a lower tone, in a more relaxed tone. So hopefully that evens things out. In any case, so that's an example. We kind of live in a really cool world. Again, when I started haunting back in 1989, I believe it was, you would have had to, marshal together a bunch of boom boxes and make sure you had a place to plug them in, or you had to have, a truckload of D batteries to run those boom boxes. We're very fortunate in today. We have so many sound design choices. You can make your sound as unique as the scene you're in. With these new Bluetooth speakers, they're terrific in that they're small. They can be water resistant in a lot of cases, so check your label carefully, which is great if you're going to be haunting outside. One of the things that I do these days is I have a Bluetooth speaker that is somewhat weatherproof because in the past I did put a boombox out there, and when the cold, damp air of the night came in, the boombox would be fried. So it was not a happy thing,
But having the weather-resistant speaker, Bluetooth speaker, has been great. So I take that and I put that on the deck. I can actually kind of, I don't have to crank it because I don't want to make my neighbors unhappy. I want them to be really happy that they have this creative, fun neighbor next door. But I want them to people, as they come to see the haunt, experience the mood. And one of the great things is, so you got the speaker, I can hide it. It can be kind of close to the scenery. And I can program it with music from my tablet, which I can keep my tablet inside. I don't have to worry about my tablet getting wet, damp, thrown around, stepped on, broken, or stolen. I can just keep that inside where it's safe next to the window, and my Bluetooth speaker can communicate with it. And these days, because we have so many cool things, for example, here, let me put the sound back on. There you go. I can hop over to YouTube. I can hop over to a Creative Commons website. Did I turn this down off? I did not. There we go. I can find some of my favorite music. I can ask my friend to compose some music for me. That is scary. If you just start, if you go on YouTube and you just type in Halloween music, Creative Commons, you'll get all kinds of good stuff coming up. And I can use that, and it can play on a big, long loop that plays for my deck all night long. I don't have to worry about flipping a tape over like I used to back in the old days. I don't have to worry about starting the CD over and over again. I can just do that, and that's a really good thing. And what I like about this is these things are so small, and they work with a bunch of different devices that might already be in your life. You can just hang out. You can just stash them all over your house. So if, say, you're having a big Halloween party and you want different scenes, like you want one scene in the bedroom, one scene in the bathroom, you know, maybe another scene on the yard, you could do that and have different sounds for each of those. And you can actually customize that so much more, because it used to be you'd take a generic spooky sounds cassette, the old Hallmark spooky sounds cassette, and stick it in a cassette deck, a boombox, and you just like stick it someplace high up in your haunt and let it just blast out, and you know, the person who's standing next to it has a huge headache by the end of the night. But now we can actually customize that. If you want to create a loop, you know, spend your weekend creating a loop of music or sounds, like for example, if you're having a mummy's tomb, you know, getting out and, you know, banging a shovel, or getting your friends together to chant or something like that, you could do that. You could do a whole lot of other things as well. And it's just something so easy to do these days. And it can be done fairly safely and fairly inexpensively. There's also some less expensive speakers out there on the market that I think plug directly into your little outlet on your phone. I want to say the quarter inch or eighth inch outlet on your device. And they can also still plug into old-timey CD players as well, so you can just have a very small, if you still have a old CD Walkman that works, you can plug that into a small speaker that has that quarter-inch input, and you just have that playing in the background somewhere. Again, if you still like your spooky sounds tape or that CD, one of my favorite CDs for haunting in general, and I should have brought it today, is the soundtrack to The Last of the Mohicans. Because they have there's a lot of counterpoint and discordance in a couple of the scenes of the movie, and that comes through in the soundtrack of the movie, and it's actually can really cause, there's tension, a lot of tension to build up and then finally release. And I think, again, that's, you know, that's how people make films. That's even how people compose photographs. It's the way people compose music. It's sometimes even how we compose a broadcast. And when we put all those things together, if you put all that into your haunting, if you think in terms of composition, think of, you know, your favorite painting to look at, or you think of your favorite story that's been told, and it could be a scary story, it might not be, but you think of how those elements come together in there. What's visual? What draws on my five senses? You know, what's tactile? We didn't even talk about that in this book. Most of us, you know, don't want our props touched, or we don't want, if you're having a haunted house, maybe you have actors in it, you obviously don't want people touching your actors, but you can put things where they can be touched. You can have one of the elements in this book is a realistic-looking gravestone. It's a realistic gravestone. It's chapter 4. And it is a tombstone that has been made with cement mix, with basically patch mix. And you can use that, and that's nice and cold and heavy. If somebody touches it, they can't really break it. You don't want them picking it up and, like, throwing it. That would be bad. But if they touch it, it's going to feel cold, like they're in a real cemetery. So that's one of the great things. Or you can have something that's sticky or slimy or scary. Like if you're at that back to that birthday party scene that you might be envisioning, is maybe you want, you know, to take some jelly and rub it on, you know, you're going to have, like, soda cups sitting around this cake. You want to rub some jelly on there so when people touch it, it's all sticky and gross, and they get all grossed out and don't want to touch anything else in your scene. And that might be a good way to do it. Or you want something slimy or cold or wet. We talk a little bit about the tactile in that story as well. You know, the way things touch us. It was a common haunt technique. We don't see it as much anymore because of safety reasons, is to put something that, you know, rubs up against your leg. Obviously, you don't want to put any trip hazards in any haunting you might be doing, whether it's a party at your house or a full-scale charity haunt or, you know, something in your yard. But you can have something that brushes against your hip or shoulder. Very common thing is to have a little bit of string hanging down, and you can even wet that down. And it is a very creepy feeling. So if people are walking through, like, they feel like they're walking through a spider web, think of the times that you've been outside and you've walked through a spider web and how gross and weird that makes you feel and how you wish you hadn't done it. Well, you can kind of bring that back in to that experience as well. So again, I was talking a little bit about composition. So just think about it. Think about your favorite movie. Think about your favorite painting. Think about your favorite song. Think about composition. Think about what is central to this. What is essential? What am I trying to communicate in this scene? If it's a mummy's tomb, obviously you want to communicate that there's a mummy here. But what else do you want to communicate? Do you want to communicate now that you've entered the mummy's tomb, you're going to be cursed? Obviously, this archaeologist was cursed, and he's now turning into, I don't know, a lizard? He's becoming desiccated. He's turning into a zombie because maybe the mummy bit him? I don't know. Are you thinking of grave robbers in a mummy scene? Think about that. So think about who are the actors, what is the motion, even if it's just a static scene, there is motion in that, there is motion of our eyes moving across that scene. So let's direct attention where we want it to be, and then let's surprise people with misdirection. So if I'm looking at that mummy and something jumps out and I'm mesmerized by how amazing, because you actually followed, I think it's chapter 8, is the mummy. If you were in chapter 8, yes, Mummy Mia, people are amazed at what a great job you did. They're examining that. Something jumps out from behind, perhaps a doomed archaeologist, perhaps a priest, perhaps a grave robber who's now, you know, making off with lots of gold from the mummy's tomb, and you realize the mummy's going to get mad and come after him. You want people enjoying that. Thing's going to scare you. That's going to, because you've already been drawn into this experience. Your mind is focused elsewhere. So something's coming up from behind. So again, think of composition that way. Think of the lighting. Think of the olfactory. What does it smell like in this experience? If you want a scene with a lot of zombies in it, just say you get your friends together. They all dress up like zombies. We all know what that looks like now. It's a very common and something that people really look for. It's become one of the major figures of Halloween. Is mummies, is zombies, and you just get your friends to dress up like zombies and wander around your yard. What should that smell like? I mean, it might smell like autumn leaves because it's in your yard, but maybe if you can, you know, add that bucket of earth, you know, potting soil with hot water on it to kind of give that fresh dug up smell to these zombies. Or, you know, there's some, you want to maybe get some Limburger cheese, which smells terrible, and have that, you know, warming somewheres, so it smells like, you know, rotting carcasses. Something like that. I don't know if Limburger cheese smells quite that bad. Again, be safe. Don't invite your lactose intolerant friends over to sniff your cheese. But, again, those kinds of elements, bring those in there. And since I mentioned having your friends dressed up and come over to your house, I'm going to mention one of the most effective hauntings I ever experienced. It was actually at Dorney Park, probably 15 years ago now. When I think about it, they did what was called the Haunt Zone or the Fright Zone. And the Fright Zone was very simply, this is the simplest thing. They had multiple haunted houses in there. Some of them were really nice. Some were a little cheesy. They were actually meant for multiple age groups, so they weren't heavy onto the scary, gory, frightening thing. But they did something that was they rated as very, very scary and wasn't for small children. It was meant for adults. Is they took an area, just a big open expanse that you could walk through, and they cordoned it off so you knew that you were going to walk through it. And they got so many heavy foggers. This is outdoors, so safe. You weren't going to, like, get, you know, killed or anything. If you had to escape quickly, you could. But there was heavy-duty foggers so thick that you could not see your hand in front of your face as you're walking through this area. And they would have people, costumed characters, just in whatever costume, would just come up out of the fog. They would just be suddenly right there in front of your face because you can see maybe more than a foot or two ahead of you. Or they might come up just behind you. And they would have, a lot of times they would have some sort of noisemaker. They wouldn't be like shouting or anything because that would be hard on their vocal cords after hours and hours. But they'd have like a ruga horn, which is one of my favorite haunt elements. Or you know, a bicycle horn or a bell or, you know, something that just kind of growls or groans when you shake it, and something like that, and they'd just be like right behind you making that noise, and it was the most terrifying thing, and it was amazing. And they were in costumes, a lot of them had masks, so before you know it, there's like a werewolf face in your face, and it was kind of amazing. And nobody actually touched you, because that's an important thing, that's an important safety thing. If you start touching people or getting aggressive with people, they will tend to get aggressive back to you. So, and it's one thing if you're having a party at your house with people you know, and even in those moments, again, we're talking about evoking emotions, we might not want to evoke the wrong emotion and get ourselves harmed, even by somebody we know. If you're trying to scare the trick-or-treaters in your neighborhood, again, be really responsible. Don't just jump out at people and freak them out, because it is a thing that you need to be concerned with. And do I have my safety tips in here? I thought I did. I'm just trying to see if I can find them. I think I put some safety tips throughout the book, actually. Also, while we're making things. So I'm going to go over a little bit of what's in here. I thought I had a specific section on that. Apparently, I do mention a little bit about black lights. I know people are not aware of this, so I am going to mention this particular safety tip. It appears twice in my book. That's how much I like it, but it's important. Here we go. Always use UL-approved lights. Use outdoor lights for outdoor lighting. Use power strips with their own circuit breaker. Keep electrical appliances and cords away from water. Tape around unused use electrical tape over unused outlets. Check for frayed wires before you use and discard any damaged items. Not every light needs to be plugged in. Battery-operated candles are a terrific advancement. They are flame-free and go nearly everywhere. And they are flickering, so they add animation as well. Flashlights can be used as portable handheld spotlights, particularly if you're playing tour guide. Light sticks are also a handy way of bringing compact, safe, electric-free light that can go anywhere. Do not discount their usefulness. I know a lot of people, we don't think about them. They were a big innovation back in the 1980s, late 70s, early 80s, when American Cyanamid invented them, New Jersey company. They patented them. But they are all weather and they're super safe. If you like your lighting plan to evolve over time, you can plug in some timers. Outdoor ones with photoelectric switches are essential to yard haunting. And do I mention again about black lights? There are two types of black lights in the world. There are ones we're familiar with, the UV lamps that I mentioned earlier. They make things glow and look interesting at night. If anything is phosphorescent, it will glow very, very well. If phosphorescent means that you can charge it up by sticking it in the sun, and then it will glow at night. There's also things that we call day glow. That's fluorescent items. If you turn a black light on either of those, they will look really, really cool. They'll appear to be glowing. I even have in my book a painting that is black light sensitive, so you can see it one way under daylight and another way under black light. Also, things that are white often will fluoresce, kind of bluish, especially if you've used laundry bluing on them. If you have, I think, Clorox 2 or Woolite, there's the one with dye and the one without dye. You want the one with dyes in it. It has that slight blue tint to it. If you take a little bit of that, put that in a mister with some water, shake it up real good, and then spritz it on anything white, it will start to glow under fluorescent light. Another thing that also glows under UV light, under black light, another thing that glows under black light is tonic water. So you can also use that. You can even have drinks that glow, so you can put a black light over your bar. But the thing with black light is you want to be very careful with it, because our eyes our pupils don't contract. When we're out in visible light, our pupils contract. There's nothing in our evolution that changed us, brought us to a place where our eyes would recognize UV only and contract. So if your eye is being flooded with too much UV light, your pupil won't necessarily contract, so you can actually burn it. So an important thing is to keep your UV lamps away from where people can look directly at them. And I do see some scenes in black light sensitive haunts where the lamp is out. So if you see them laying out like that, don't look directly at it. Look at the scene. You're supposed to look at the scene. If you're designing something, put a hood over it or mount it to a ceiling. Mount it to a place where people can't look directly at the bulb, because it's not good for their eyes. I mentioned another kind of black light. They're actually just very dark purple light bulbs that emit very little light. They're incandescent a lot of times, and they are not too bad. They're good for just giving you dim lighting, but they do not cause things to fluoresce. Although if you do have something that's phosphorescent that's been charged up in the sunlight, it might still glow under those circumstances. Anyway, I have made myself kind of... I've said a lot today, but I'm going to just do a quick... thing to mention that there is a Jeopardy update is the streak of reigning Jeopardy champion Matt Amonio came to an end on Monday as he was defeated by a fellow contestant. It was a bittersweet moment for Matt Amonio as the score at the end of Monday's Jeopardy episode was not in his favor. The champion's impressive streak comes to an end after he rattled 38 straight victories in the Battle of the Brains. The number puts him second to the all-time consecutive wins list, behind only the legendary Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings. It is fitting that Amodio won 38 matches, as that is nearly half the number that Jennings won several years ago. Jennings' streak famously extended 74 straight wins back in 2004 and is widely considered the greatest game show contestant of all time. While Amodio came up short in his bid to catch Jennings, the two champions will now forever be mentioned in the same breath, and I'm sure. I remember reading a story about Matt Amodio a couple weeks ago where he was saying that he grew up when he was a young child, because he's 38, and Ken Jennings was almost 20 years ago now. Some of his early memories were of Ken Jennings on Jeopardy, and he's watched Jeopardy every day of his life, and Ken Jennings really was the greatest of all time. And so that was actually a really good moment to, I guess, be acknowledged by his to be able to acknowledge his hero and also be acknowledged by that hero in return. So, again, sad that Matrimonio no longer on Jeopardy. The good news is I probably don't have to watch any more of Mayim Bialik than I want to, that I might choose to. And it's also good news that it is now 6 p.m., more or less, give or take a few seconds. And I'm going to bid you adieu. Once again, the name of my book is 10 Cheap Tricks to Haunt Your Halloween. I am Victoria Ann Davis. And yes, a dollar of every book sold this weekend, this October, will go to benefit. Will go to benefit Fisherman's Mark in Lambertville. Good night, everyone. I will see you some point in the future. Good night.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
FDA scientists are refusing to take a stand on Moderna's coronavirus booster shot. They wrote two-dose vaccines still provide enough protection against death or serious diseases. House Democrats have some critical decisions to make in the coming days about President Biden's agenda. That's how House Speaker Nancy Pelosi opened a briefing on Tuesday, Pelosi saying she's trying to carry out President Biden's domestic agenda by not only passing a bipartisan infrastructure bill, but the Democrats' budget bill as well.
We are very grateful to our president for saying, I want to pass the bipartisan legislation on infrastructure, but I will not confine my vision for the future to what can be in that bill. Hence, we need the Build Back Better.
This is USA Radio News.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-885-0303. That's 1-885-0303. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-885-0303.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
A whistleblower from Pfizer is speaking out.
Project Veritas has posted four videos as part of its Expose Pharma series on COVID-19 vaccines and vaccine mandates. On October 6th, they posted part five. The video is going viral on the internet, unlike other Project Veritas videos in the COVID-19 vaccine investigative series. This one did not involve the use of a hidden camera and interview of somebody without their knowledge. This video involves a sit-down video of a Pfizer employee turned whistleblower.
But I'm just one person, one face of many of your employees who are willing to fight this and reveal to the world what's going on.
They've used cells from aborted fetuses.
Yes,
and they don't want the public to know that.
Yes, and they're denying our religious exemptions at Pfizer.
Brad Bernards from the West Texas USA Radio News Bureau with that report. Former President Barack Obama set to hit the campaign trail for Democratic nominee for governor Terry McAuliffe in Virginia. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot. If you like my radio show, you're going to love my podcast, War Raw. Each podcast, I present my top 10 most outrageous, salacious, and controversial stories.